Welcome to the Hockey Hound Show. Join us as we break down the latest stories from around the National Hockey League, interviews, and more. Here are your hosts for the show, Michael Prieto and Matt Rezutis.
Welcome back to the Hockey Hound Show. I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're talking with James. How are you doing, man?
Not too bad, guys. What's shaking?
Happy Thursday, man. Happy Thursday.
Thirsty Thursday after a Leafs victory. I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, especially yesterday. You know, they really needed to pull it together.
Yeah, well, it's been a little bit of tough sledding in Leafs Nation. I don't know if you guys have been watching, but there hasn't been very many victories, and we've been compared to the Montreal Canadiens, which we all know that story right now. But it was good to get a victory, a comeback victory, I guess, a character win, you can call it. Albeit against a Chicago team that's severely depleted, but at least they were able to put up the 2 points.
Did the Leafs kind of motivate you to start the offside hockey talk?
They did. Junior hockey did. I just enjoy talking hockey in general, and everybody always said, oh, well, you should do your own thing. So I finally one day just said, you know what, in 2016, picked up a mic and said, we're going to do this, and been rocking it ever since. Got to talk to some cool people across the land, so I'm loving it.
It's a pretty interesting experience, you know, especially, you know, kind of the camaraderie that, you know, that podcasters kind of have, you know, whether you're, you know, an experienced podcaster or even a new guy. You know, I think that there's a lot of people that are pretty welcoming in the podcasting community, and even more so, I would say, in the hockey community, because, you know, hockey's somewhat, you know, niche in the hockey environment. And it's just so cool to kind of just to talk with other hockey fans.
Oh, it definitely is. It's neat to talk with fans, also like media members or players or, you know, people who cover different teams and stuff like that as well. I mean, the access is there. I mean, I think I've only had one person say no when I've reached out to have someone on. So I won't name any names, but it's been pretty cool. I mean, people from Sportsnet, TSN, ESPN, the NHL, didn't matter. They always willing to sit down and have some fun. So that's always a good part.
Yeah, we've sat down with a couple guys from NHL Sirius XM Radio with, we have another podcast that we do. And it just seems like just in general that just people are so welcoming, you know. So moving on, kind of, the Leafs are a very interesting team. You know, they have got, I think that, you know, Matthews and Marner are always talked about. They're always the first people that are brought up about the team. You know, Matthews isn't scoring, Marner's not scoring, you know, this isn't happening, and it kind of always involves them. And someone I think who's always kind of left out to dry is William Nylander. And to be honest with you, Nylander doesn't put up as many points as the other guys do, but he puts up points consistently. Do you think that with everything that has gone on with the playoffs, with the way the season has started, Nylander having practically more points than Matthews, Marner, and really Tavares combined, do you think that this is Nylander's time to shine?
Well, I would say it's his time to silence the haters. I mean, I don't know if you guys pay attention to Leafs Nation, but they've been on him for, you know, the past few years, especially with the contract holdout. You know, now he's taken his game to the next level. He's performed in the playoffs when the other two haven't, or three for that matter, with Tavares. This season, he just stepped it up when the team has needed someone to be there to be that guy. You look at teams across the league, you can look at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Malkin always would step up when Crosby was out. You'd expect that out of Marner or Tavares, but Nylander has taken that mantle this year with Matthews being out the first few games. And I don't know. People say that he's buzzing and, you know, generating chances and all that stuff, which he is, but I don't think he's 100% game ready yet. And I think that's going to come. The only way you get that is to play more games, but definitely to talk on Nylander. I think this year is going to be a shine year for him. And, you know, if he keeps playing the way he is, I think it can also be a career year.
Yeah, 100%. Is there anybody else that you would say on Toronto that's say like a really great player but doesn't get a lot of limelight?
Jason Spezza is a guy. He's getting a little bit of a rub right now. Leafs Nation's fallen in love with him. He's taken, you know, less money. He's talked in a leadership role. a lot of people want to see him be a part of the coaching staff when he does end up retiring. That's a guy right there. Another guy for me is Andre Kasha. He's not getting talked about a lot, but that guy takes a beating every single night. He's taken multiple shots, it looks like, to the head. And with a guy who's got a huge concussion history, that's a worry thing, but he's not afraid to go and battle. He's not afraid to use his speed and drive towards the net. And I don't think he gets talked about a lot. And then our guy is Simmons as well. He looks a lot better this year than he did last, especially after the injury last year. He looks way better this year. He's buzzing. He's got a little bit of snarl to his game. I'd like to see him drop the mitts, but might be a little hesitant after that wrist injury last year. So, but those are three guys to me that stand out. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I love Simmons, man. I've liked him ever since he played on the Kings, to be honest with you. And as a Blackhawks fan, I always wanted them to try to add him, because I think that he, like you said, he has like a snarl to his game. He's got an edge to his game, but he doesn't go overboard. And I think that's really hard for a lot of guys to do, to ride that edge without going overboard and being dirty. And he's never been a dirty player. I think he's been a hardworking player with the Kings, going on to the Flyers. And to be honest with you, he's one of my favorite players. What about you, Matt?
Well, Jack Campbell, is he the man there now that, I know they let Anderson walk. I know he's one of the most likable guys on the team. But what do you think, man? Is he gonna get you guys over the hump?
Well, you guys tell me last night, if Jack Campbell wasn't between the pipes, I don't think it would only be a 2-0 lead for the Chicago Blackhawks. I think it would be a lot more. We talk forever here for Leafs fans, and it's just on podcast or wherever. You hear it everywhere for Leafs. The Leafs needing that timely save over the past few years, whether it be in the playoffs, whether it be in a big regular season game, and they haven't been able to so many times get that save. And last night, there was huge indications that Jack Campbell shut the door. Jack Campbell made huge saves, bailed his team out when they made mistakes, and those things have not been happening. So, yeah, I think Jack Campbell is the guy. Now, I talk with Dennis Bernstein, a guy who covers the LA Kings from the fourth period. Mm-hmm. He talked about Jack Campbell not really having a chance to run with the ball so much in LA. And when he did, he kind of stumbled. But we all seen what he did last year in Toronto, and we see what he's capable of this year playing, I guess you can say, behind a lesser team so far that really hasn't found their footing. Hall and Muzzin aren't really buzzing like they were last year. Their stats are not looking that great. You look at the offense, we talked about Matthews and Marner and Tavares not clicking. Nick Ritchie seems to be a bust so far. You go down the lineup, the depth scoring really isn't there. So, I think Jack Campbell is probably going to be saving this team's bacon on most nights. And last night was a pretty good indicator of what he can do. And the Leafs just need to get the offense going. So I'm hoping he is. We also have Petr Mrázek, who's on his way back, could play Saturday night. Another good goaltender, understands what a tandem is like, understands what that life is like, that it won't be your net all the time. Same thing with Jack. But I don't know, guys. You look at his record last year, and you look what he's been able to do this year so far, and I would say he's definitely earned the right to have the crease until someone takes it away from him.
I agree with you 100%. And it's really funny because if you look at Edmonton, they have the exact opposite problem that Toronto has. Their stars have no problem scoring, but they can't get a hold on that and get that goalie to kind of get them past, that first round. I don't think that Mike Smith is the answer there for him. Could he work in a tandem? I believe that he could as a backup, but I think that they need to pick up another goalie, someone who can be their number one guy. How do you feel about the goalie situation in Edmonton?
For me, I've long said that's going to be their Achilles heel. I thought when they were in the Markstrom sweepstakes, that would be the guy to kind of come in and calm things down and be that steadying force for them. They didn't get him. They went back with Koskinen and they went back with Smith.
Yep.
For me, I said this is going to be an area where Edmonton upgrades throughout the season. I think you look at Anton Hudobin out of Dallas as maybe a name that can come over. Maybe you look around if somebody with veteran status, maybe a Jonathan Quick, if he's looking to get out of LA to get moving. You know, if Chicago's not doing well, maybe Marc-Andre Fleury's an option. You know, there's lots of different things out there that would whet the appetite of Edmonton Oilers fans. But right now, that goalie tandem could be what sinks them. You can score all the goals in the world, but if you're letting all the goals in the world back in, it really is not that great of a show. So I think they definitely need to upgrade that crease. And you can't, you know, rely on, what is he, a 41-year-old Mike Smith?
Yeah.
You know, to keep running back that clock. And, you know, he's one, you know, old man groin tweak away. I mean, I'm 35, and I know what it feels like to have a rough day. So I don't know, man. He's one of those away. And then the Edmonton Oilers are going back to Koskinen and whoever else between the pipes. And I don't know. I don't think it's a very wise plan.
He was bad last night against Philly. Really bad.
Koskinen was?
Oh, he was brutal. He let in about 3 softies, I'd say, that whole game. He was really bad. Cost Edmonton their first loss.
You know, you got you have Dallas, who kind of, in a way, cornered the market with the goalie market, because they've got like 4 starting goalies on the roster. You know, it's almost as if they're, you know, anticipating not doing anything this year and looking to get some draft picks at the trade deadline to maybe trade off to Edmonton or another competing franchise that's trying to make the playoffs. What do you think is going on with Dallas, just them as in general, as an organization, as a hockey team, you know, because I just can't get like a beat on them, man. I don't understand like what's going on there, what they're trying to do.
Well, we all remember the St. Louis Blues when they had Kevin Shattenkirk and they looked like they were, you know, poised to take those next steps, and they stumbled and they trade Shattenkirk for picks and they bring different things in. And I'm wondering if Dallas saw their window, you know, went on a run, and I don't know what it is. Last year was a write-off for them. Mulligan for sure. Jeff Merrick says it all the time. You look at the fact that they had the floods and they had COVID and the team had COVID and different things happened there, players being injured as well. Maybe this year they're looking at it like, hey, we can get some draft picks. We can move our stock up. We can do different things to propel us for the future. And that might be what they're doing. Maybe they saw last year and said, hey, you know, we didn't act when we could have acted, and now this year we're going to. And if things go well, then we make the playoffs, great. But if we can be kind of kingmakers towards the playoffs, I mean, that's definitely what they want to be. I think you see them. If Seattle flounders, I think they also will be a team that can definitely set some other teams up as well. But, yeah, no, I see Dallas as wanting to deal and get some picks in. And no one's going to touch the Arizona Coyotes in terms of getting all the picks, but at least they can make some noise and set themselves in the right direction.
You know, the Kings seem to be a team that me and Matt have talked about, you know, early on. And they just seemed, with the addition of Daniel, to know that it gives Kopitar an opportunity to really give a push to, you know, maybe take a load off of his back, that he doesn't have to just provide defensively and offensively. You know, maybe he can have a little bit more time in the offensive zone, and he's having a really great start to his season. We also had Drew Doughty that needed to have a good start to his season, and he did. And then he took a really horrible hit to his leg, and he's going to be out for quite a while. I don't know how long. Matt, have you heard anything about Doughty?
Yeah, I think 8 weeks. Yeah, with a knee injury, and I think he had surgery actually on it.
Oh wow! What kind of did they specify? What kind of injury it was?
A hyperextension, I believe.
Oh god, that's brutal. So James, how are you on the Kings and what they've got going on over there?
Well, I was huge on the Kings when we did our prediction show. That was one of the few people, myself and Clark Monroe, were taking them to make noise this year. And exactly what you said, Philip Deneau coming in. You guys are gonna remember when he played against the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs. He shut down the big guns, and that's why the Leafs went out and got a guy like David Kampf, who's a defensive specialist, because they saw that and saw what that can do and how that can swing the momentum. Well, you bring him over to the LA Kings, and it gives Anze Kopitar a breath of fresh air. He's not having to be that defensive center, that option that has to go up against the other team's best every single night. You can throw out with confidence Philip Deneau and know that he will match up well, win on the faceoff dot, can be defensively responsible in his own end, and that allows Anze Kopitar to go out and do what he does best. Now, with the injury to Doughty, we'll see what happens, and Cal Peterson in net, you know, if he runs with that ball. But for me, you look at the young players on this team and how they want them all to take that next step, and a lot of them were in the lineup, including Quinton Byfield. Now, he's out with the injury with the foot, I believe it is. And you look at the LA Kings and you say, okay, all of these guys need to continue taking those steps and continue to make noise, but now you'll do it without Doughty. And that is a little bit concerning because a motivated Drew Doughty, which this year he definitely would be motivated. The Olympics are here. He wants to be in that conversation. He wants his name to be rung up there with everyone else. I do believe he was on the long list for Team Canada. Name value, just what it is for Drew Doughty. But he did come out and start well. Now he has to come back. It's, what, 6 weeks of healing, 8 weeks before he can be on the ice. Or, sorry, 6 weeks for training, 8 weeks then on the ice. So we're 8 weeks out from seeing him in any kind of on-ice stuff. So we'll see what happens there with his Olympic bid. But you look at the LA Kings and you just say, hey, you went out and you got Victor Arvidsson. You went out and you got Philip Deneau. You want this team to take the next step. The only worry for me really is it too much too soon for some of the young guys? We've seen players be rushed through different organizations and take away from their stock. Or are these guys going to take that next step? And are they going to be able to make the noise? And that's what I'm worried about for the LA Kings.
You know, the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, if anybody's been in the hockey world and living on the moon or Mars, you know, they dropped a bombshell this week. You know, they mentioned that one day that they were going to release the findings of the investigation. And then the next day, Rocky Wirtz and Danny Wirtz, you know, they let everybody know the main points of the investigation, which was absolutely incredible. And then the day after that, Kyle Beach gives a interview with Rick Westhead, you know, and it's the past couple of days, it just hasn't been bad for the Blackhawks. I think it's been bad for hockey in general, especially some of the names that he was dropping, you know, like the NHLPA, Don Fehr was in there. And it's incredibly unfortunate, you know, what's happened there and the reprehensible behavior of the executive team from the Blackhawks from that 2010 team. And I think everybody can agree that I think that the Blackhawks did the right thing by releasing everything that was found by the investigation. You know, like the investigation wasn't what some people thought, you know, like the right hand feeding the left hand type of a thing. It seemed like a pretty thorough investigation, and they didn't do the Blackhawks any favors. They put it all out on the table, and I think that's what they needed to do. And it's a hard time for the fans because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they give a lot to their teams, you know, and then they want to believe in them. And you have the executive team that has essentially screwed over a lot of fans because it makes it hard to cheer for a team when they have this kind of behavior. So the Blackhawks logo essentially is tied to what these few people have done. And I don't think that that's necessarily fair to the players that are there now that had nothing to do with this thing, that weren't there at the time, that are essentially living out their dreams. And in a way, people want to maybe boycott the Blackhawks a little bit, but then like these new guys are kind of taking that hit when really they should be supported. Where do you see the Blackhawks moving forward as an organization from this point now?
It's difficult, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a shattered mirror, I guess, a shattered window. You'll never put the pieces back together and make it look the way that it was. You have to rebuild trust with your fans. You have to rebuild trust within your organization. You know, accountability is going to be huge. We still don't know every single thing that is going to happen or transpire with all of the individuals that were named in the report. You know, I have my own opinion. I think that anybody who sat on information, lied about information, put out statements that they didn't know, and then it was came out that they did know, I don't think they have a place in this game. But for the Blackhawks themselves, I think it starts with just trying to rebuild everything, doing everything right, saying the right things, and being accountable for all of this. And one thing that really kind of upset me was, you know, they released a statement, I think it was Wirtz at the end of that 17-minute video or whatever you want to call it, deposition, I don't know, whatever the word is there. He said, you know, and I'm not going to get this quote right because I don't have it in front of me, but he basically said that, you know, we're going to do right by these players and we're going to, you know, settle with them, even though we have a great legal case. So basically, you know, it was almost shoving it in their face that we could demolish you if we want to. We just choose not to. And I think that was a bad thing to say at the end of that. You know, because it kind of diminished what you had already said and did that day. So to me, that was a little bothersome. I don't understand why you would say that. It was almost like, you know, standing there puffing out your chest saying, we could have shut this down, but we chose not to. And that's not the way to play the cards right now. Right now, like I said, you have to rebuild every aspect of your organization. You have to rebuild trust. Players are going to want to see it. Other teams are going to want to see it. Other management's going to want to see it. Other leagues are watching you right now because this is probably not going to be the only one of these situations that comes out. We already know there's a situation involving Bill Guerin and the Minnesota Wild. So that's within the NHL, you know, sphere again. But these things will be watched carefully. So everything that Chicago does now needs to be very calculated. Take the proper steps, do right by everyone that was hurt, make sure that those voices are heard, make sure that those people are protected, taken care of, and make sure that future generations coming through your organization, you know about these situations that happened in the past, and here are the steps and things that we are going to do to rectify those situations and make sure those things never happen again. Here is the fail-safe that is there for you if you need to use it to make sure that this never, ever happens again. And that starts immediately. But like I said, they are still challenging Kyle Beach in court. The Chicago Blackhawks are. There still is litigation between both sides. So that to me is mind-boggling. You've already issued your apology. You've already gone and done and said that these things have happened. I don't know how you're going to try to battle now, but I think that's the wrong way to do it. But the long-winded answer is Chicago needs to take accountability, step up, do the right things, and everybody that was involved in that needs to do the same thing. Step up, say that, hey, I did know about it, but this is what happened. It went up the chain of command, whatever it is. But if you knew about it and you didn't say anything and you kept it all these years, I think that's just as bad as, you know, not dealing with it at the time. I think you should speak your piece and always defend someone who needs to be defended.
You know, whenever it comes to like legal litigation, it's almost as if that there isn't any common sense with it. You know, like, say, for instance, you know, you have a right and a wrong, and you think that the right person is going to win, and the wrong person wins because of a legal technicality. And I think that it's maybe like some settlement should be handled out, you know, to Kyle Beach about everything that happened. But if I'm mistaken, you know, I thought that there was like some kind of litigation about them giving a reference for Aldrich to go to, you know, like a good reference to get another job, and that they didn't.
That's the problem too, is when you look at the report for Jenner and Block, the files, the personnel files, they make sure to note the fact that the only file that was missing was Aldridge's. Everyone else's was there, was intact, was full. Everything they needed from those files was available, but the only one that wasn't, which they didn't say was suspicious, but the way they worded it, if you look in the document, I'll have to pull it up if we want to get it right, but they basically said Aldridge's was not there and everyone else wasn't, which was a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, it just sucks, man. You know,
it's a mess.
What a complete mess. You know, from every other organization, I think that, you know, I think that a good motto to have is to just do the right thing, because doing the right thing isn't going to come back and bite you in the ass later on.
What are we taught even as kids, you know, always do the right thing. You know, if you see somebody that's down, out, hurt, whatever, you help them.
Right.
You step up and do the right thing. That's what you're taught to do as a young person, you know? So I don't know. And to say, and the things that trouble me the most is hearing that, you know, winning a Stanley Cup and winning the next round, you know, was more of a priority than someone's well-being and their life. And that kind of really didn't sit well with me. And, you know, then you see the same day that Kyle Beach comes out and gives a speech, and I think there's a dropped ball by the NHL that Coach Q was behind a bench last night. I don't think that should have happened.
Yeah, I was actually going to get into that next.
I agree with that, yep.
Yeah, he was on the bench. It was not a good look, you know. Especially with, you know, I get it. The Panthers are 6-0. He's employed by the Florida Panthers, and they left him out there. You know, maybe the organization should have said, you know what, man, you shouldn't be out there right now because it just doesn't look good. Do you guys know what happened with Quenneville's meeting today with the NHL?
Chris Johnston said that. Everything is still on the table. I guess Bettman and the NHL are going to take time to reserve their decision is what I've read. But everything is still in play, whether that means complete termination, suspension, you know, basically getting exiled from the NHL. Those are all out there. And I think it's really something everybody should know, too. You see all of these people, and I got angered about it, too, stepping down. And I wanted them outright fired. I guess if you step down, the team doesn't have to pay you severance. So they don't have to pay those people. So it's almost better to see someone step down right now, because then they're not still being paid a juicy salary.
Yeah, it almost seems like they take the easy way out, though, when they step down and not get terminated.
They do, and I think it's all just, again, we talked about legal mumbo-jumbo, and, you know, basically that's what that is. That's the team saying, well, you step down because we don't want to pay you.
Exactly.
You know? So step down. We all should know that Stan Bowman got fired.
Yeah.
You know, that he got fired. And, you know, they said stepping down because it avoids the whole pay thing, from what I've heard. So, you know, and the thing with Brad Aldridge was he wasn't allowed to step aside or whatever. They did terminate him, so they did pay him. I think it was something to the tune of $36,000 or something like that as a severance.
Wow.
So, you know, they did pay him money to go away.
And it led him to do something, you know, just as worse to a young high school kid, which, and the Hawks really let two people down. That it just terrible.
They let more than two. I mean, that intern.
Well, I'm saying that changed their lives forever. The two, yeah, obviously, well, Beach and the young player.
The intern as well at the, you know, the Stanley Cup, I guess, party or whatever it was that he also, you know, had misconducts with as well. That happened. And that was after the, you know, everything was reported to the team about, you know, Kyle Beach and all that situation. So yeah, there's that person there, and then going to the high school, and you know, and all the families, of these things.
Yeah,
yeah. That all of these things snowball because you left it to inaction, and you know, you left it to such inaction that you also wrote character letters. You know, oh great, he was great with the team, helped the coaches all season long. You know, all those things are in that report. You know, I just don't. It blows my mind that. That could happen, and really the only thing that they cared about was winning the next round and winning the playoffs and winning the cup, which yeah. I get at the end of the day is every organization's end drive. But this, again, is someone's life that is being messed with. And because of your inaction, several other people's lives that were messed up because of it as well.
I hope Kyle Beach can move forward, you know, in a peaceful manner. It looks like he has a really good support system that is supporting him, and that's really good to hear, you know, because the last thing you want to hear is, you know, this guy's, you know, strung out on drugs and he's alone and he's dealing with this kind of stuff, you know.
Because he seemed to look like he kept himself pretty good. I mean,
yeah,
you know, he was playing over in Europe. I don't know if he's playing this year. The last thing I saw on his hockey list was last year, so I don't know if he's in playing again, but you know, he has been playing over in Europe. He has been, looks like he's keeping himself on the straight and narrow. And, you know, and that may also help his credibility here in this situation, right, where he hasn't gone off the complete rails. And he can be, you know, I guess a mentor to those who have gone through this stuff, you know, a voice, yep. a beacon of light, whatever you would like to choose to use in that metaphor for him is what he can become, you know, going forward, which I think in this day and age, we need more people. We talked about this earlier, coming out and standing up for what's right and talking about what's right. And I think he has the opportunity to be one of those people, to be a leader in that. And I think people will look towards him, and you'll see a lot more people, I think, come out with their stories as well. And like I said earlier, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, not just for the NHL, but in pro sports in general.
I'd like to see the NHL actually maybe hire him after his playing career and, you know, be like the guy in charge of teaching clubs, like what's right and wrong and what policy should be with coaches and meetings and stuff like that. I think he'd be great for it.
Maybe like some kind of compliance
experience,
like maybe like some kind of compliance policy where, you know, that each team has to hold some kind of a survey between all of their employees, and it needs to get submitted to the NHL where there's oversight over it. And that way, you know, people can rate their club in a way on how they're treated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd have to be done through anonymity. I mean, cause
right.
You know, any of those things come back and we all know it doesn't matter. Power dynamics are everywhere.
Right.
That list gets back and it said, hey, just use a lease. Marner said this, Matthew said that, Tavares said this. Oh, but Simmons really didn't like this. You know, then, you know, how does that affect a player? Or you go down the list. So Timothy Liljegren, who's a fringe guy, well, he really said he didn't like this, this, and this, and this isn't going well in the organization. Next thing you know, he's playing down in the ECHL, in Newfoundland, for the Growlers. Because
right.
They just want to ship him as far away as they can. You know, because that list got back. So it has to be done in a way where the players are protected, but they're allowed to have a voice. And having a liaison like Kyle Beach, I think it would have to be a few years down the road.
Oh, because for sure.
Right now, yeah, even within a year or two, well, not even just a playing career, but it would look like a token hire by the NHL. And you don't want it to be that. You want it to be something that is meaningful and natural. Right now, if they were to say, we're bringing in Kyle Beach and he's going to be this, you know, it's virtue signaling for the NHL.
For sure.
Yeah, it wouldn't seem very authentic.
It's got to be genuine, yeah.
You have to wait. And maybe, like I said, he takes on that role himself, then kind of builds that profile for himself and then says, hey, I'm going to partner with the NHL now and we're going to right the wrongs and we're going to do this. But like I said, I think it would have to be a couple of years down the road. Not that it wouldn't be a great idea now. I just think people would view that as a token hire, and it may not get taken as seriously as it should if he goes on his own and builds that profile for himself and then takes that to the NHL and says, hey, this is what we need to do. This is what I'm already doing. Let's run with this and make this something bigger so that way everybody can have a voice and not feel, you know, scrutinized for, you know, coming out with things and having things that are on their mind or whatever, something happened, you know, and fear of not being able to play, much like he had under Aldridge.
Well, man, you know, this has been an absolute pleasure, you know, talking with you. You know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but we'd definitely like to have you on again to go on over, you know, more of the league and, you know, more of what's going on. You know, I mean, this is only like barely the first month of the league is over, and so much has happened. You know, Buffalo's been good. CBJ has been good. Tampa's hasn't been so good. You know, the Kings are becoming a more of a force in the Pacific. Vegas hasn't been playing well. You know, look at Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh is without Crosby and Malkin, and you know, they're absolutely fine without these guys. You know, they've been playing really, really well. There's a lot going on with the NHL, yeah, but
Buffalo's good.
Yeah. Well, as of right now, they are. but yeah, man, we would, it's been a pleasure to have you on, man. We'd definitely love to have you on again. And I'd like to thank you for coming on the show.
Not a problem. Look forward to coming back on, guys. Hope things do turn around in Chicago on the right foot. And hope you guys can enjoy some of this season here.
Why don't you go ahead and drop down, you know, your socials, your, you know, your podcast, whatever you got going on, and let the listeners know where they can find you at.
Well, be sure to check out Offside Talk on Twitter at Offside Talk. We drop an episode every single week. We do fun TikToks and hashtag prediction season videos for every single Leaf game. So you can check that out on Offside Talk on Twitter. We're also on YouTube. Just throw an Offside Talk in the URL. You'll find us. Anywhere you're looking for hockey, we're there. We interact with the Hockey Hound all the time, too, different posts and things like that. So it's a fun community, man. There's enough for everybody to talk about that nobody should feel like they have to keep it all to themselves.
100%, man. You hit the nail right on the head there. Well, once again, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. This is the Hockey Hound Show, and we're out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Hockey Hound Show. You can follow us on social media at Hockey Hound Show. And be sure to check out our website at www.officialhockeyhound.com.